This is Riz Hatton with the Becker's Dental Bastia Podcast. I'm thrilled to be joined today by Dr. Kyle Hollis, Chief Clinical Officer of SGA Dental Partners. Dr. Hollis, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for inviting me. Really excited to be here.
Great. Just to start us off, could you introduce yourself and tell us a bit about your background?
Absolutely. Yeah, so I'm Dr. Kyle Hollis. Like you said, I'm the Chief Clinical Officer for SGA Dental Partners. I'm a practicing dentist in Savannah, Georgia. I actually I practiced for about 6 years before I got into the more of the management role and became the chief clinical officer for SGA back in March of 2022. I went to the Dental College of Georgia for my dental education. I really enjoyed being a part of the of SGA and of the group and seeing where we've grown. I look forward to speaking on the podcast and continue to talk through some of the issues and great things that are going on in the industry.
Great. Thanks so much for that introduction. I'm curious, what led you to switch from the more clinical side of dentistry to management?
Well, I enjoyed clinical dentistry, and I still do. And it was just one of those things that happened organically. We began growing as a group. We started out as South Georgia Dental Management with a group outside of Savannah, Georgia. We had two locations in Reedsville and Claxton. As the group continued to grow, there became more and more of a need to expand our clinical strategy and clinical management. Just kind of happened organically. I fell into the role as I became more and more involved with just the growth of the group and with our private equity partners, the Thurston Group.
Great. Thanks for sharing. What are the biggest issues you're following in dental today?
One of the biggest issues that I'm following that our group is kind of keeping track of and is really important to us is access to care. We are a regional DSO, primarily in the southeastern United States. One of the things that we see in a lot of the states that we're in are just numerous markets with unmet demand. So we have offices in tertiary and secondary markets, more rural areas where we may be the only dental office and the only provider. And there are also several counties still in many of the states that we're in that don't have dentists. So access to care is a big issue that we're actively trying to solve. And one of our big goals is to bring high quality providers into those more rural markets. So that we can better provide access to care for many of those that don't have it. And then also with that, we're looking at the licensing issues with different states and the licensing compacts that are out there. There's two big ones that are floating around. Keep staying aware of that and then just seeing how did the licensing compacts, the ability for dentists to have reciprocity of licensing across state borders, how does that affect access to care for patients? Is it going to, increase that? Are we going to be able to further provide more care in these rural areas, bring providers to those areas? I think probably also just like the insurance, medical loss ratios that the dental insurance companies legislation for that in many states is happening right now. We're keeping track of that. What's this going to look like for coverage for our patients, reimbursements, tracking that. How are reimbursements going to track? With the increased supply costs, staffing costs, and everything like that. Is this something that's going to be great for patients and good for the industry, or is it one of those things where we're not going to see a whole lot of reflection in the actual coverage for patients?
Interesting. Thank you. I'm curious. Does SGA Dental Partners have a specific strategy or any initiatives that they're working on regarding access to care?
Yes, one of our the key components of the group is to provide that high quality care in those I don't want to say forgotten markets, but maybe a lot of those areas where like there is that unmet demand, where there's patients that are driving an hour or more to see providers. We have the ability to be able to go in, set up practices, create succession plans for older existing doctors in locations where they may be retiring and there's not an immediate solution for replacement. We've been very successful in going in those areas and bringing providers that maybe initially wouldn't have considered that as a potential opportunity, and then making that a good opportunity for them, and therefore bringing that that quality of care to these patients. And so that's something we continue to invest in. And we're going to continue to grow and build density in more of these tertiary markets and secondary markets as we grow in the Southeast United States.
Awesome. Thank you. So what are you most excited about and what makes you nervous when it comes to dentistry?
Good question. I think I'm probably, I get really excited and passionate about just the technological advances we're seeing in dentistry right now. I mean, 3D printing, AI integration, I think 3D printing is changing the way that we do dentistry, and it's going to continue to develop. I mean, I think, just here recently, Align came out with 3D printed palatal expanders for kids. It's less invasive, less painful, a way of doing expansion. And then, just the ability to, as we have more and more materials that come out that we can 3D print, long-term fixed, solutions for patients and implant solutions. Things of that nature. I think it's going to continue to shorten appointments for patients and to lessen the number of appointments the patients are going to be in the chair. So really excited about that. And then, AI integration into the office, both on the clinical side and the business side. I mean, we're seeing, we're able to be more precise with our decision making and, be able to more confidently diagnose for patients. And then also gives the patients the ability to see care that is, that is better data driven. And so they can physically see, hey, this is what the AI is picking up. And then that along with the diagnosis from the doctor, is going to continue to build patient confidence in what we're doing. So, that's really exciting. Genetic testing, saliva testing, being able to be more precise and just create personalized care for patients. That's another thing that we're looking at with SGA, and so excited about that. Minimally invasive dentistry. I mean, the integration of lasers and periodontal treatment, and also just there's products on the market right now where we're treating incipient caries without drilling, and being able to remineralize and with biomimetic ways, and so that's pretty exciting. As far as, and I think the rest of the question is what potentially makes me nervous. I don't know if there's anything that necessarily makes me nervous. Maybe one of the things I'm cautious with is teledentistry, right? So I think that teledentistry definitely fits into the continuum of care and is potentially another way that we're going to, better that access to care. But just want to make sure, we want to make sure that, hey, it's implemented appropriately. We're providing it where it's necessary. We're just kind of watching how is it going to be regulated, continue to be regulated, everything along those lines. So cautiously optimistic, but cautious for sure.
Interesting. Thank you. What will the most effective healthcare leaders need to be successful in the next 2 to 3 years?
Great question. This is a interesting time that we're in. I think it's just the ability to adapt, right? So healthcare is changing rapidly. with AI integration into everything, we're seeing processes and change. We're seeing new technology come out on the market every day, and a lot of it is does make things more efficient, more effective. So I think being able to adapt, not being resistant to change, is one way to continue to be effective over the next couple of years. You know, the ability to make data-driven decisions, stay away from just emotional decisions. You know, take the anecdotal information that you get from your providers and you know your constituents. Listen to all your constituents at the ground level, and then take that and combine it with the data that we're able to we're able to build more on the company side, and use that to make your decisions. And I think that that's how you stay effective and you grow. Biggest thing really is focusing on your providers and patients, right? So providing patient-centered care, focusing on outcomes of those patients, making sure that all the decisions that you're making are leading to better outcomes for your patient, and let that drive your business. And in order to do that, you really have to also focus on the well-being and just the mental health of your clinicians and your staff. So I think, making sure, especially right now, you know, and I know healthcare, you know, the hospitals on the medical side are seeing it worse than we are on the dentistry side with the nurse shortage. But, you know, with the inability for a lot of offices to staff, in places, I think that can add added stressors. So we've been really fortunate. Our retention rate of staff has stayed really high. But, you know, it's just one of those things that you have to see, like, hey, if staffing, you know, across the industry becomes more difficult, like how do we remove some of that strain and stressors off of our providers, and just keep them happy. So being there and making sure that you're supporting your clinicians, your providers, and the rest of your staff, being able to continuously provide that high quality, a high level of patient care, I think that's how you remain effective.
That's great. Yeah, it sounds like that support piece, as well as that flexibility, that adaptability, sounds really important. Thank you so much, Dr. Hollis, for your fascinating insights and your time today. I look forward to connecting with you again in the future.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.